This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink. All right. We are recording.
We're recording.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is May.
It's gonna be May.
No. I was waiting for it. I was hoping you'd do that for me. Thank you.
Hello to the fifth month of 2020 and the third month of Corona. So far, 2020 is looking... it's looking like the inside of my house is what it's looking like.
Welcome to the pre-month before our birthday month, most importantly.
Ooh, yes. The last listener's episode before Gemini season.
Yay! I can't wait, Em.
I'm very excited, and I don't know how we're going to do presents this year, but I imagine we'll do like some sort of online date where we open each other's stuff or something.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I need to like learn how to use a drone or something.
Well, I don't know. Last night I bought your first present of the birthday extravaganza. I'm very excited about it.
I bought your first present last night too. I'm not even making that up.
I wonder if it's the same thing because I saw it and I was like, this is some shit Christine will absolutely buy me.
I told Blaze, I said, how much you want to bet Em and I get each other the same fucking thing? So we'll see.
I'm pretty sure it's, I already know what it, you got
God
me.
And, damn.
And I love it. I love it.
This is so us. Oh God. Eva's probably like listening to this going, okay, we get it. Anyway, well, Eva picked some beautiful stories that you all have written into us. And by beautiful, hopefully they're creepy and scary. And we'll find out.
We didn't have a theme this time, did we?
I don't think so. Unless we find out that we did. In which case, yeah. I'm wrong.
That's the way I love it. I don't mind surprising myself. First of all, how are you? How are you doing on this fine almost May day?
It is very hot. How are you doing?
Ooh, I forgot. Are you just like sweating right now?
I sure am. I had to turn off the little window unit because I got to record. And so I am sweating.
It's probably sweating. Not as warm as it used to be because I'm not there to add to the fire of hotness level, you know?
Right. You just like come trailblazing through.
That's true. It's basically a refrigerator in there right now.
Just like smoking.
Well, good. I just wanted to check on you.
Well, thanks.
So my first story is from someone named Emily, and Emily's title is The Date from Nopesville.
Oh.
So Emily says, hello, all who dwell in the podcast studio house as permanent residents and or guests. Oh, my goodness.
That's you trailblazing through. See?
And thank you, Eva, for reading my email. I appreciate you greatly. Happy Monday. You're podcast brightens my days. I travel quite a bit for work, sometimes up to 9 hours driving one way. So I'm grateful to have you both in my ears as I drive into nothingness and over mountain passes. Ooh.
Oh my God. Is this like the new Robert Frost?
I'm pretty sure that we're the road less traveled.
I knew it.
Now, sometimes I can't sleep at night in my hotel after listening to you, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make to keep me entertained while I'm driving. And that's why I drink hashtag team wine. So here's your story. I was in my first year teaching and had recently broken up with my longtime college boyfriend. I was trying to move on, and I also wanted to be a little scandalous in my life since I had been a, quote, good young lady all my life. I also had to be a little secretive about it since I was teaching in a small rural town where everybody knows everybody and everybody stopped by my house anytime that a new vehicle was over. Oh my goodness.
Oh God. Sounds like a nightmare.
Sounds like Fredericksburg. My dad came to change out vehicles with me once to get my car serviced back home, and 6 different families showed up to my house to see who was over. Oh my goodness.
It's my dad. I love that.
So like all rebellious 23-year-olds, I got a Tinder, and life was good on Tinder, swiping left and swiping right. I had talked to a few guys, but nothing had come of it. And but then one afternoon I got this odd message that someone had super liked me, which meant that we matched no matter what. And he sent me a message. And as I looked through the profile, there wasn't any close up pictures of him, which I thought was odd. He had one where he was driving a motocross bike, one with him standing with 2 younger girls at a sunset, and then just some random racing photos. And I immediately was not interested, but I decided to be nice and at least message him for a while since he used his super like on me. We talked for a few days. Nothing important or amazing happened. It was all surface level, and that was about as far as I wanted to go. Then it was the weekend. So that meant that I spent a day going to the nearest city for a lunch at a chain restaurant, aka Olive Garden.
Yay!
Retail therapy, grocery shopping, and green tea from Starbucks. All right. That sounds like a good day to me.
Mm.
Once I was in the city, I got a message from Racing Man, and and asked what I was doing this weekend. I messaged him that I was in the city for the day, and he quickly responded that he was in the city and wanted to meet up. I was hesitant, but I knew that he would persist, and I hadn't gotten the confidence to say no quite yet. So I agreed to meet him, but at the busiest Starbucks in the city. So I guess in case she got smart.
And for more tea.
And for more green tea. Wait a minute. That's the real thing. Also, I said this in an Instagram live recently, but let me take this moment to ask anyone listening. If you work at Starbucks, can you DM me and let me know if there's a possibility to ask in the future for a London Fog Frappuccino? Because I brought it up in Instagram Live, and I don't know if a lot of Starbucks employees were there to hear me say it, but someone on the live asked what my dream like Starbucks drink would be. Mm-hmm. It was an iced London Fog Frapp, and I don't know if that's possible. So before I look like an idiot, someone let me know if I can ask for it. All right.
And also, it's different from the green tea frap because M doesn't like the matcha, right?
Right. Yeah. London Fog is...
Just I don't want people to be like, that exists already.
You know? Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah. I don't like what exists currently. So please don't suggest any of those things.
Serious inquiries only.
Right. Exactly. I then sent a message to my best friend and sister to let them know I was going on a coffee date with someone. And I told them that if I didn't text back within 2 hours to call me, and then if I didn't answer, to call the local police. I also...
Oh my God! That's smart. This is not a good vibe. I'm sorry. I'm scared.
Yeah, if you're that hesitant... Well, I guess it's fair, especially in like a small town. Like, you don't know who you're meeting up with, so...
No, it's very smart. No, you're totally right.
I also sent them a picture of his Tinder profile so that they had some kind of lead of who kidnapped me and the address of the Starbucks.
Smart.
All of this prep work should have totally told me that I probably shouldn't go out with him, but I didn't listen to that gut feeling, which was bad. About an hour later, we met in the Starbucks parking lot and we went inside. I ordered my unsweetened iced green tea and he began to pay. He suddenly stepped in and said to me, "What is with you women, first of all?" I haven't even finished the sentence, but those like 5 words are enough for you to leave now.
My like hackles are up.
You women. Oh my goodness. Okay. What is it with you women and thinking that you have to pay for things? You were on a date with me. I will pay for it. Okay. So you had me in the first half, but okay. I get it. Trying to be a gentleman, but also women can pay for things. I was taken back by that. It was like a $4 drink. I can handle that even on a teacher's salary. I brushed it off and I found a table on the patio of the Starbucks that had about 10 other people on it. We sat together and shared some more surface level information about ourselves. He shared with me that he was retired military, past state patrol officer, and a past police officer in the area. I told him I was a high school teacher. He then asked where I lived since I didn't get to the city very often. I told him the name of the town and his face turned white and he immediately looked down. I made a comment. Yeah. Uh-oh. I made a comment about how the town I lived in had some trouble with their police department in the past year or so. And I mentioned that a cop had actually shot a local resident in the back multiple times as he was walking into his mother's house. Oh my God. He became smaller and smaller in the chair across from me. And I said, did I say something wrong? And he said, that kid that shot the kid in the back, that cop is me.
The kid that shot the kid?
The cop that shot the kid in the back was me. And he said,
oh my God.
And he said, I start the trial for his murder in the next few months.
Holy shit.
I was stunned. I was on a freaking date with a murderer. I had read and read about that case and felt that based on the information that the media released, that this cop was definitely guilty of second degree murder at least. As my mind was racing, and I'm sure my face looked absolutely horrified, I tried to keep my cool and continue to listen to him as he lied and complained about the situation. After about After about 10 more minutes of him talking about all the ins and outs of the ordeal, I pretended to get a phone call from my mom. I stepped away from the table and thought on my feet about what excuse I would need to leave. So I came up with the excuse that my parents had come down to have dinner in the city that I lived in and I needed to get home. He didn't put up a fight and walked away to our cars. I started my car and drove away. He did not follow me. And after getting out of town, I called my best friend and cried and about my date with the murderer. It was just my luck. Like, this always happens to me. This is what you get for being too nice. A few days later, he messaged me, but I never messaged back and unmatched with him. A few months go by and the trial for the murder began. I tried not to look at any of the information coming out, but eventually it was inevitable that I would get some kind of info. And I read an article that he was found guilty of second degree murder and would be sentenced later that month. Whoa. I sent the article to my best friend and sister. We all chatted about how I literally went on a date with a murderer. And I learned quite a bit from this. One, trust your instincts. Two, be rude when you don't feel comfortable or don't want to do something. And three, get rid of Tinder.
Okay. Oh my fucking God, dude. Yikes.
Yeah. That's so true, though. It's I know it's my favorite murders quote, but fuck politeness, you know?
Fuck politeness, dude.
MFM.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow. Well, thank you so much. Was it Emily?
Yes.
Thank you, Emily, for sending that in. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you met up in a public place.
And, yeah, very smart.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
You did all the right things.
You did. All right. So this next one is from Emma.
Yay, Emma. Lots of M's going on.
I know. Okay, we got the subject. True crime. That awkward time my mom thought my dad was the Hillside Strangler.
I'm sorry.
What the fuck? Okay.
Can you imagine? I'm absolutely assuming right now that they're married. Maybe not the case, but I like to think immediately going into this that they're married and finding out years into their marriage that she might be married to a murderer.
Oh, no.
That's the juiciest. Anyway, let's go. Let's go.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. It says, hello, and that's why we drink family. I'm Emma, one of your cool teen listeners.
Oh my gosh, a teen listens to us. The youths.
I'm suddenly so nervous. Okay. And then she says, JK, I'm not very cool, but I am a teen who loves your podcast. That means you're really cool.
That's all I needed to hear. I get nervous all the time. I'm like, do the youths even like us? And now I'm like, oh my goodness.
It seems like a couple of them do. So thanks, Emma.
I feel like a top dog.
That's what cool teens say, right, Em?
Yeah, in their 80s.
Okay, maybe you're the Hillside Strangler. All right. Anyway, since it's Corona time, as us TikTokers say, I got bored and decided to send this story. Let's crack into it. Picture it. Los Angeles, 1977.
I'm already there.
I know. I love it. So much Wool. My parents had recently met and my dad was taking my mom on a date. They got takeout and went to a hill in my dad's janky old car because my dad wanted to show something to my mom. Oh boy.
Goodbye. It's a corpse.
They got out of the car and walked up the hill a little bit. Keep in mind that it's autumn, meaning that it's pitch fucking black outside by 6 p.m. Then my dad turned around, looked my mom in the eye, and said, "This is where the Hillside Strangler's most recent victim was found."
Why?
Why?
Why did your mom keep dating him? Why? I'm sorry, but like, I'm sure everything was meant to be, and that's why you're here, and blah, blah, blah. But if I went on a beginner's date with someone, and they said, well, they're still in like the midst of trying to impress me, and they're like, let me take you to a murder site.
But I feel like that's exactly what I would do. Like, I'd be like, hey, looks, I have something cool to show you. This is where Ted Bundy lived. I don't know. I feel like that's some shit I would pull.
Okay, I'm not going to lie, though. When we were in Vermont, I definitely went to the place where Ted Bundy was born, or like Ted Bundy's original house.
You didn't tell me that.
I found it as I was like in an Uber on the way to somewhere else. And I was like, are you shitting me?
Oh,
this is right.
God.
It's like a corporate building now. It's like, it's not there anymore, but it was either the hospital he was born in or his childhood home. I have to relook it up, but
ew.
You literally just made me eat my fucking words because.
See, and now look how impressed everyone is.
Oh, let's say impressed. Definitely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So then Emma says, romantic, right? Anyway, let's just say it was a few weeks before they went out again. Turns out my dad at the time was just a slightly awkward TV news reporter who had reported from the scene of the crime and for some reason decided that would be a cute date spot. Anyway, they've been happily married for 18 years now, which I think is totally noodles because if I was my mom, I would have been so out of there after that date.
Right.
Sorry that was so long. It wasn't. It was like three sentences, Emma. Don't apologize. I love your show so much and hope to see you live sometime after the virus clears up. Thanks for making social distancing more bearable. Stay spooky, stay healthy, Emma. Oh my God. I love that story. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. And also, like, she's not wrong of, like, I would have also been way out there. Like, that's something you at least say on, like, a 10th date. Like, after you've kind of, like, once they've sank their claws in you and they're too afraid to leave, like, they love you a little already.
Or you say it with a lot of context. Like, listen, I'm a TV news reporter. I know this sounds really, really, really bad. But guess what?
It's like, I'm just trying to give you a very memorable date.
And it worked.
It sure did.
18 years later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, Emma. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Emma.
I'd also tell your dad he's a hopeless romantic. Okay, my next story is from Kay, who uses she, her pronouns. Thank you for normalizing pronouns, Kay.
Oh, Emma did too. I didn't say it. I don't want Emma to feel left out.
Thank you for normalizing pronouns, everybody who does so.
Sorry.
So Kay's title is, oh, Christine's gonna fucking love this one.
What?
My encounter with Scientology.
Oh boy, I'm buckled. I'm knuckled and buckled. Let's go.
Aren't we all? Okay. Also, very much looking forward to the day you decide to cover Scientology. I know that's a
I can't wait.
I know it's a tall order, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's coming. It's coming.
So Kay says, I don't know if this would count for a true crime story, but at the time I went to the local church of Scientology. Okay. Yes, it does to me.
Yes, yes. Crime, crime, crime.
Definitely true, also.
Hopefully true.
I never knew what Scientology was about until I was in college and taking a class about cults and religions. For the class, you had to write a paper about a religion, and I chose sociology because I thought it would be interesting.
Part sociology.
Scientology, sorry.
I was like, wait a second, I'm so confused. Okay, got it. Sorry. I should have assumed that.
No sense. Okay. Part of the assignment involved having to interview someone from the religion. So I did some why can't I fucking read today? So I did some
religion.
I did some religion about sociology, you know. So I did some research on it by going to the website, watching and reading about it. I also watched the Leah Remini show, which, by the way, is amazing if you haven't.
Oh, I love that show.
I know we've both watched it.
Yeah,
but
y'all.
It's amazing. It's so good.
It's good.
And sad.
I did a puzzle. It's sad. Yeah, I did a puzzle and drank wine and watched that show, and it was like the best weekend of my life. So highly recommend.
It was one of those shows where I would play it like calm down before you react. I would play it while I was driving. I would like leave the phone like in like on the floor, but like the audio would come through. So it felt like I was listening to a podcast.
Ooh.
Which I like, obviously do not watch TV while you fucking drive. But if you like, I was able to plug the cord into my phone and like, you know, drive and listen to it at the same time. And it still was really good. I just couldn't get enough of it. Like, I couldn't wait to get home and watch it. So I'd have to play it through my radio.
Oh, so good.
Anyway, please don't drive and watch Leah Remini, but also please go watch Leah Remini.
Go drive and listen to Leah Remini.
Listen very intently. So I watched the Leah Remini show about how bad Scientology is. So I wrote up a list of questions and asked everyone, I asked around if anyone I knew happened to be a Scientologist. That's a good way to just get on the ground and
grassroots.
Just yeah, exactly. Only to find out my grandmother was a Scientologist in her young adult years. She refused to talk to me about it, saying it was horrible and I should pick a different topic.
Okay.
Wow. I don't listen very well, so I thought it would be best to go to the church itself, and I did just that. This is where my somewhat true crime starts. So I drove to the church when I had some free time. When I got there, I walked up to a receptionist and started asking some questions. She said that she would find someone to answer my questions and led me to a room where she told me to wait. I waited in the room for about an hour and no one came. So I just got up to go out and ask again. But when I tried to open the door, it was locked.
Uh-oh.
I started forcibly knocking on the door when all of a sudden the door opened. It was the same lady I talked to before. She told me to sit back down and she would answer my questions. So we sat down and she started being very rude, not really answering my questions. And then she grabbed my notebook from me, yanking my hand and hurting my wrist. She read through my notebook saying I obviously needed to continue my education because I wasn't very intelligent.
Oh my God.
At that point, I was done. I grabbed my notebook and said I was leaving. But when I went to leave, another person physically blocked the door so I couldn't leave. They were saying that they could help me in my education and my life. I shit you not, I actually had to threaten to call the police before they let me leave. Oh my God. So like they were saying, Jesus if you stay, we'll like help enlighten you. Ugh.
No, thank you.
It was a very scary experience for me and I will never go back. I should have listened to my grandma, but I learned the hard way. Anyway, that's my kind of true crime story. Love you guys. Yikes.
Wow. I don't like that. That's so scary, dude.
I did not like that a little bit at all. For me, a true crime story, like even if it's 1% just scary, it counts.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously that is very illegal to be holding you there and inside a known cult building. Yeah, that's really awful. I went to a Scientology center in DC, but I will save that story for the day I cover Scientology. But fortunately, I did not have to call the police, thankfully. So I'm glad you are safe and not indoctrinated, you know.
Yes, thank you for getting away. We're very proud of you.
All right, this next one is from Alexandra. She, her pronouns.
Okay. Thank you for normalizing pronouns.
Thank you. This says, my college roommate was a ghost. Oh, boy.
Okay.
We've had a lot of true crime today. That's cool. I feel like I'm usually do more ghosty. Yeah. Okay. Time for a ghosty story. So back in 2012, I was just starting my freshman year of college. Anyone who has lived in a dorm knows that the prospect of sharing a room for a year with a total stranger can be exciting and terrifying all at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys should know my roommate. Ugh, just kidding. It was Allison. I love you, Allison.
Yeah, so gross. So gross she sounds. I just had to meet her and date her for myself to find out. And
you call her stinky, so.
Now she's my roommate. Listen, I got to tell you were right the whole time.
JK, I was very lucky. Love you, Alpal. Okay. That first day I met my roommate and was lucky that we hit it off immediately. Thankfully, we had really awesome dorms at my school where we had a full suite. There were two rooms with two people each. We also had our own bathroom and living room. It was nice, but there were always corners and shadows, and that is extremely relevant to how the story unfolds. So one day, not too far into the semester, my roommate told me something along the lines of, hey, so I have a ghost. Okay.
Okay.
I can only imagine my response was confusion. She went on to explain that her whole life she had this ghost that follows her. He never did anything, just kind of lurked in the shadows. All those little corners and rooms in the dorm, he loved hanging out there. I kind of brush it off like, whatever, that's an interesting thing to tell someone you just met, but okay. But that is an interesting.
To be fair, both of us would have done that in college. At least I would have, and been like, oh, by the way, my room's haunted. By the way, I've been here for 5 minutes and welcome to being my roommate.
You would have been like, let me go show you where Ted Bundy was born, and then I'll tell you all about my ghost in the corner. Oh my God. Okay, but then it got strange. I would wake up and see things out of the corner of my eye, only to later have her say he was in the bathroom or she saw him in the closet that morning. At night, I would fall asleep with the feeling that someone was there, but it all came to a head one night when a friend visited. My roommate was gone for the weekend and my friend from high school visited. My roommate said it was totally cool if she slept in her bed since she wouldn't be there. The next morning, my friend woke up and told me something really weird happened. She had woken up in the middle of the night to what felt like someone aggressively grabbing her chest. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
She went back to sleep after, but it had justifiably freaked her out. When my roommate came back, I told her the story, thinking she would be like, weird dream or something, right? She said, oh, yeah, he didn't like that someone else was in my bed. He does that sometimes.
Ew.
Oh, okay. And then she says, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. So now this ghost.
Cool.
Which is also how you and I would react. Cool, 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 cool.
I'd be like, cool, cool, cool. I need to run away now for the rest of my life.
So now this ghost living in my dorm was territorial too. Awesome. Weird things happened for the next couple months. I would still see shadows. I would occasionally find pieces of a baby doll in my bed. Oh my God. Okay.
Good fucking night. The fuck? Absolutely not.
Oh my God. Even after I threw them away, I have no idea if this was related or just one of my roommates playing a prank, but it happened when my roommate wasn't there, so not writing it off. Nothing big happened again, and my roommate moved out halfway through the year, leaving me with the bedroom to myself for the rest of the semester. As soon as she left, I never got those weird feelings or saw those shadows out of the corner of my eye again. You never know what you're going to get in a college roommate. I was lucky enough to get a paranormal 2-for-1 deal, I suppose. Thank you for bringing some humor to the world, especially now. You're making my work from home hours truly more bearable. Team wine, because wine is actually my career. Ooh. So I kind of have to, though I will never say no to a milkshake.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, Alexandra.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone that goes to college, like, someone is bound to be roomed with someone who's like attached to things.
You'd
or
think
like
so.
Is
yeah
more inclined to that stuff. I know when I was a freshman, there was a ghost in, not in my room, but I had, again, it was me and my roommate and then two other people, and all four of us shared a bathroom.
Yeah.
So we could, in theory, walk into the other person's room. They had a ghost that a few times they came into my room through the bathroom. They would like knock on the bathroom door and like ask to sleep in our room.
Oh my gosh. Oh no.
But that was, I mean, I was lucky it wasn't in my room. I was like, you stay over there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd just be like, I'm sleeping. Sorry. I don't hear you. But I mean, even what bothers me about that too is like, okay, yeah, she was upfront about having a ghost, but then when the friend came and stayed in her bed, she wasn't like, by the way, maybe your friend shouldn't sleep in my bed because sometimes my ghost gropes people.
Poltergroped.
I don't know.
Poltergroped.
Poltergroped. Holy shit. You're right. She got poltergroped.
In there. Well, also, like, it's weird because it makes it feel like the ghost is like, thinks she's his girlfriend. Like,
yeah.
It feels like, why are you territorial of someone else lying in her bed?
Maybe she was like feeding into it, like, you know, into the attachment, maybe. Like,
yeah.
We're partners. Oh, yucko.
Also, like, how spiritually aligned are you that you are able to see things like in your closet and like seeing literally manifesting like old baby doll parts.
Oh,
like,
God, that part's awful. Even after you throw them away, they keep appearing. That's just disgusting.
Vomitous.
Vomitous. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. That is so nice. So I received this beautiful lilac shrub and Leona and I planted it together, and we did find a creepy like saint statue while we were digging up the yard. But that aside, it was really a wonderful experience. The funniest part is my neighbor, Anne, hi Anne, walked past me the other day and said, oh, I saw your lilac bush that you mentioned on the podcast. And I thought, wow, advertising really works, folks. I talked about that lilac shrub. She saw it in my yard. And I said, Leona and I worked very hard to plant that. And I also found a creepy saint while I dug it up. But anyway, the point being, it looks professional. It looks like a landscaper put it there, and a toddler and I actually put it there. So I feel like we've fooled everyone. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code DRINK at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code DRINK at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code DRINK. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
If thinking about salsa in a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. And make sure to turn the jar around and take a look at its clean backside, a list of its all-natural ingredients. Of course, that's what I meant, of course. And all their products are preservative-free, too. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. I'm reading the ad and my mouth is watering. Anyway, the hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal with each bite, containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. It's perfect for avocado egg toast or tacos. I sort of feel like they're reading my mind because I put salsa on almost everything, but specifically, I use their salsa. I use usually the medium salsa and then also the hot sauce on my avocado egg toast. And I don't know how the script knew that. Maybe everybody eats this, but I always make toast with avocado and then I put scrambled eggs on top and I put salsa. I can't eat it without salsa. And the Green Mountain Gringo is always there for me in the fridge because it really adds to, I mean, any meal if you're me, but definitely the eggs avocado toast situation. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. And don't forget to check out their backside.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so, so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with brand new releases and next listen recommendations. There's a story for every listener, from classic favorites to exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors. Elevate your heart rate with a pulse-pounding collection of thrillers you can't hear anywhere else, all brought to life with Premiere Audio. From eerie soundscapes to dynamic voice performances, you're guaranteed to be on the edge of your seat. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has your thrill needs covered. Plus, with an Audible membership, get access to thousands of titles and the chance to discover new favorites and formats, like the exclusive Words and Music series or a podcast. And Audible members can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. I have to tell you about a thriller I recently listened to on Audible. It's called None of This Is True, and it is actually about a true crime podcaster. And I was surprised how much I got into it. It has, speaking of like immersive sound, it was such a good audiobook. I actually recommended it for one of the recent And That's Why We Drink newsletters. I always go to Audible for my thriller fix. New Audible members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500. That's audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
My next story is from Sierra, who uses she, her pronouns. Thank you for normalizing pronouns. And Sierra's subject line is my university's haunted elevator.
Oh.
So Sierra says, I wanted to write in and tell you lovely human beings about an extremely terrifying experience I had at my alma mater, the University of Mount Union and Alliance in Ohio.
Yay.
It is currently the pandemic and my graduation has been canceled. Aww. So I'm just calling myself an alumni at this
Hell
point.
Hell yeah.
You know what? In my eyes, you graduated early. Good for you.
You're early. Yeah, exactly.
In the middle of the University of Mount Union. Wow. Do they really just say the whole thing all the time?
I don't know. I've only ever heard of it as Mount Union. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if it was like, since it's UMUA, be like Amua. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. That's it. That's the one. Amua.
Amua. Okay. In the middle of the Mount Union stands the old building, Chapman Hall. Okay. So rumors and strange occurrences and possible suicides have always surrounded Chapman, and most students tend to feel uncomfortable when in the building. Both the education and history departments were located in the building, and lucky for me, I was a history and an education major. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
So I spent a lot of time in Chapman Hall, and I often called it my second home. During my sophomore year, Mount Union hired a psychic and a paranormal investigator to do a reading in the basement, and I was one of the students lucky enough to tag along and witness their work. After endless conversations with at least 20 to 30 spirits, the psychic quit the investigation because, quote, something extremely evil and unwelcoming has arrived.
Oh!
Firm pass.
What
I don't
fuck?
Like that.
No.
I feel like after 20 to 30 spirits, you like kind of get comfortable in your space. And then all of a sudden you find out, never mind, you should have been on edge the whole time.
Yep. Yep.
she made everyone leave the area and we finished the investigation elsewhere on campus because Chapman became too spiritually dangerous. And I nearly peed my pants and I never looked at Chapman the same way again. Yikes.
Oh my God.
Flash forward to my senior year, I finally felt comfortable to ask the chair of the history department about her beliefs in the paranormal and whether or not she had experiences in Chapman. She was a total believer and advocated that the Chapman elevator was the most haunted. She confessed how she believes a little boy lives in the elevator and admits that she has seen him on multiple occasions.
Oh, no, no.
Ugh. This is me in charge of a goddamn department at a college, by the way, just like telling people all of the ghosts I see.
They live in the elevator.
Well, there is one, gosh, I'm not going to remember their name now, but I always regretted at my school, there was a class that one professor taught called like Devils, Demons, and Magic or something.
Whoa.
I was told back then, like when I, like my friends who knew that I was doing like ghost tours and stuff like that, they were like, oh, you should go talk to this professor because she's like a wild believer and will tell you like some of her wildest shit. And I never got to talk to her. So if someone goes to CNU and knows what professor I'm talking about, let me know so I can email her. So anyway, that's my biggest regret of CNU is not taking her class. Okay, so this department chair sees a little boy in the elevator.
Oh boy.
That's when I knew I had to hold my own investigation and get my own little pieces of evidence before I graduated. I told my sorority little, who also listens to And That's Why We Drink, and we grabbed our iPhone recorders at midnight, snuck into Chapman. We went to the basement, got onto the elevator, and pressed the highest button so we would have the longest recording session possible. Once the doors began to close on us, they opened back up as if something or one got onto the elevator with us.
No.
We began to freak out because the energy changed like we were not alone on this elevator. It began going up, so we both quieted ourselves so our iPhones could record in silence. Once the elevator stopped, the doors opened and closed almost immediately as if it didn't want us to leave.
Oh my God.
I have chills right now. Goose cam.
Yes, I don't like that.
We sprinted out of the elevator and down the stairs as fast as our weakened knees could run. And once we got outside, we listened to both of our recordings. And miraculously, both of our iPhones caught a faint male voice saying, I'm sorry, while we were on the elevator. Like the spirit was apologizing about scaring us. And my knees still get weak when I think about that building, and I've never felt comfortable entering that place again. I'm sorry for the long story, but it haunts my thoughts every once in a while. Thank you for reading, and stay happy and healthy, Sierra.
Oh my gosh, goose cam.
Ooh, I total goose cam. And also, that almost makes me feel better that, you know, at least the spirit there didn't want to scare you. That's the best kind of spirit you could possibly
have. I'm going to be honest. When I heard I'm sorry, I thought it was like the doors were closing and it was like, I'm sorry, I have to do this. That's what but I'm also, you know, okay. Probably wrong.
No.
It sounded sinister in my head, but maybe it was a nice ghost. But oh boy.
I like can't get rid of these chills. Okay. Anyway. It's like all over my body.
That freaked me out so bad. I don't even know why that freaked me out so bad, but I'm like freaked out.
Yeah, I feel like we've heard a lot of other like in comparison, like wild stories, but that one was just so simple and like you're alone in a building, a whole building, and the elevator, and it won't open, and you're getting ghosts.
Oh God, ooh. Yeah. Okay. Goose cam. Okay. Let's see. I have another one here. This is from Carson, he, him.
Oh, great. Thank you for normalizing pronouns, Carson.
Okay. Carson says, a doppelganger in the mirror and my grandfather, the Green Beret. Hi, Eva, Christine, and Em. I wanted to share two short stories about some paranormal events I've experienced in the past couple years. One involving a doppelganger in the mirror.
Good night.
And the other about my grandfather in Arlington Cemetery. First story. One night a few years ago, my fiance, now wife, was sleeping over at my place. My bedroom at the time had a bathroom ensuite, but with the sink part connected to the main area and no wall in between. I got up in the middle of the night and went over to the sink to get some water. I bent down to scoop some water from the faucet into my mouth, and as I leaned back up, I gave a sleepy but definitely awake appraisal of myself in the mirror. The moon was particularly bright that night, so I could easily see myself in the blue light of the reflection. But as I stood there looking at myself for a few seconds, something happened that still gives me chills to this day. My reflection in the mirror slowly turned its head and looked over at my fiancé.
Oh my god.
I was still in bed.
I'm so sorry. Absolutely not.
This is like the worst. It's the middle of the day. I don't even know why I'm so scared. I'm so scared.
Wow, the chills are back again.
I know. As soon as the mirror me fixed its gaze toward the bed, my fiance began making groaning noises and tossing around. Oh my fucking god. I immediately snapped my gaze away from the mirror and rushed over to the bed to make sure my fiance was all right. I shook her awake, asking if she was all right, to which she stared up at me completely freaked out as to why I was waking her up in the middle of the night. I explained what happened, but she said everything was fine, so I left it at that and we went back to sleep. Fortunately, I've never had an experience like this again, but it still makes me think twice before I look at myself in the mirror in the middle of the night. Oh my freaking god. That is horrid.
My hair on my arms is on it. Like, all the way directly straight up.
That's why I regret talking about how hot I was and complaining. Now I'm just like shivering.
Wow.
Okay. Second story. As I was growing up, my grandfather lived across the street from me and the two of us were always very close. He was a decorated Green Beret before he retired, and though he was somewhat reserved, the two of us got along really well and always had a special connection. My grandfather used to work in the shop garage at our family's farm, and he would always take care of our vehicles whenever they needed the oil changed or other maintenance done. I think it was his quiet way of showing us grandchildren that he loved us. When my grandfather passed away a few years ago, we decided to have him buried in Arlington National Cemetery to honor his years of service and the incredible sacrifices he made as a Green Beret. Though I now live in the greater DC area, I've sadly only been to visit my grandfather's grave a handful of times in the past few years. A few months ago, I was downtown running errands and I figured I'd go visit my grandfather's grave. Though Arlington National Cemetery is only open to the general public on foot, if you have a family member buried there, you receive a special pass that enables you to drive into the cemetery directly to your family member's gravesite.
Aw,
that is nice. I flashed my pass to the soldiers guarding the entrance, proceeded to drive to my grandfather's grave, and spent a few minutes at his tombstone, paying my respects and remembering the fond memories I had of him. When I was ready to leave, I got in my car and pressed the ignition, but nothing happened other than the dead battery light coming on. After a few more attempts, I got out of my car and popped the hood to see if there was a problem. I had driven, stopped, and started my car several times that morning and had never had any previous issues with my car. A maintenance crew drove by and stopped to see what was going on. I asked if they could help jumpstart my car, and I grabbed the jumper cables out of my trunk. We tried for a few minutes to no avail before the maintenance crew said they had to leave to continue their work. Like, oh, bye.
What?
A few minutes later, a pickup truck drove up and the people inside asked if I needed help. They graciously pulled up and grabbed a pair of jumper cables from their vehicle and proceeded to attempt to jump start my car. Again, nothing happened. Defeated, I had to call a tow truck to come get me in my vehicle. Side note, it is super embarrassing to be towed from a peaceful, orderly cemetery, especially a military cemetery with burials taking place. When I got to the auto shop, the mechanics inspected my car and eventually told me they couldn't find anything wrong with it. They said it started right up, no problem. I like to think that this was my grandfather's way of checking in on me, maybe like he was playing a trick on me or sending me a not so subtle reminder to please take care of my vehicle.
That sounds like a grandpa thing to do.
Doesn't it? Like, well, next time you'll think twice.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for continuing to do this podcast. My wife and I love listening to it every week, and it's been a welcome reprieve from this pandemic and all the craziness in the world. Cheers, Carson.
Wow.
Wow. I love that.
I love it.
He always helped you with your cars and then was like, now I'm going to have some fun in the afterlife.
Well, it sounds like if your dad were to pass on before you and then you hear like EVPs later of like, have you changed your oil?
When yes, exactly. That tire looks a little flat. Put some air in that tire. I love it. Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. Well, thank you, Carson.
Thank you, Carson. We do have one bonus story this time. Usually Eva gives us 6 stories, but this time around, I guess there was one that was just too juicy and Eva was like, we got to read it. So,
okay,
here we go. This is from Sam, she, her pronouns. Thank you for normalizing pronouns. And Sam's story is haunted lemons. Well, fuck me.
Oh, juicy, juicy indeed, Em. You called it.
Eva, you shouldn't have made me. Why would you? She knew I was going to be the one to read this too.
I know. She put this in a specific order.
That's evil. Okay.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Okay. Hello.
Evil is lemon.
Hello, spooky friends, furry friends, and fruit friends, and spider friends, though I have a crippling case of arachnophobia.
Oh.
I hope you're all staying safe during quarantine. I'm a longtime listener, and April's stories inspired me to write my own. Fun fact, Linda and I share birthdays. She's a legend. Oh, well, thank you. I will pass on the info.
She heard it. She heard it. Don't worry.
She felt it in her bones. Anyway, I've wanted to share it for a while now, so I'm shooting my shot. I'll try to give you the Spark Notes rundown of what happened. The story starts in 1992, aka the greatest year, because I was born at that time.
Oh, yes. That's what they call it.
That's exactly it. So the story starts in the year of M, 1992, with my mom and my grandmother. My grandmother, Dolly, had just lost her battle with breast cancer, and my mom was taking time off of work to regroup. It was 2 months before her wedding, so she was also trying to finish up planning as well. Jesus, that's a lot of life events. She needed a break, though, obviously. And some friends had come to check in on her, and my mom explained to them how much she missed Dolly and how she wished she could talk to her. Brilliantly, one of her friends suggested a seance.
Uh-oh.
Now, where I would be like, nah, my mom thought it sounded like a great idea. So my mom and her friends sat in our dining room and started their seance, and my mom's friend, who was leading it, asked for Dolly to show them a sign that she was there. The dining room opens up to the living room, and in the living room, Dolly had a little lemon tree. I can already tell this is going to be Christine.
Just doing seances next to my lemon tree instead of planning for my wedding or whatever. It's just like, I need a break.
Christine, if you go before me and I ask for a sign, there's going to be like some fucking lemon is going to roll into my house like a Chef Boyardee commercial. It's just going to... I'm just going to be like, how did you get in here?
But you'll know.
And then eventually... It'll be like a Hogwarts scene where they just start coming down my chimneys and like trying to break into my house.
I can't wait.
Okay, so Dolly had a little lemon tree. So did Christine. when she finished asking for a sign, there was a pause, and shortly after, a lemon plopped off the tree and rolled into the living room.
There we fucking go.
There we go. Instead of being like, okay, thanks, we're good, they asked for another sign, and then they proceeded to hear movement upstairs in the attic. And we were the only people in the house.
Goodbye.
They paused and heard noise again. So as you do, they all started to make their way up the stairs to investigate. They moved up slowly and waited to see if they could hear anything. And just as they were about to make their next move, they heard a thud, causing them to panic and topple down the stairs. As they got off the floor, the phone rang, and my mom slowly went to answer it and only got static. But as she looked up, she saw General Hospital playing on the TV and stopped in her tracks. To derail this real quick, every day, Dolly would call my mom at 1 o'clock as soon as General Hospital started to ask what was happening, even though the show literally just started.
To ask what was happening. I love that.
My mom checked the time and it was 1 o'clock.
Oh my God.
And then the phone rang again, static again. My mom finally spoke. "Mom, is that you?" And at that moment, another lemon dropped from the tree and rolled onto the floor.
Holy shit.
The goose cam is fucking wild over here, guys.
I know. It is crazy. Holy crap.
Okay, so lemon drops on the floor. They hear noise upstairs. Then when they hear the noise at its loudest point, the phone rings and General Hospital is on the TV, which is what their routine was. She asks, "Mom, is that you?" Lemon drops again.
Oh. Whew.
My mom explained to me that the whole thing was startling, but somehow comforting that her mom reached out to her to let her know she's still there. You can tell that she's still around, especially around my grandfather. They were married for years and he didn't remarry after she passed. I can tell she's always keeping an eye out on us to make sure we're okay. Apparently, I had a full-blown conversation with her when I was 3, and she helped save my grandfather and my mom from a few accidents, but those are stories from another day. I hope I didn't drone on too long, and I hope you enjoyed the citrusy tale. Thanks for the scares and laughs, Sam.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wow.
Wow. Those were all pretty bananas.
Yeah, lemons, but yeah, close enough. wowza, though. That's like with the General Hospital thing. Made me almost cry.
Oh, that one fucked me up. Yeah. Yikes.
Aww. Well, I love that. You're right. That was a juicy one. Thank you, Eva, for inserting a bonus story.
Yeah, definitely extra goose cam action.
There was a lot of goose cam today, huh?
I know. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I hated it. It gave me some adrenaline after sitting in my apartment for 43 days.
I know. We're like spicing things up here.
Like my dopamine levels have spiked. What's going on?
Eva knows exactly what to do. Oh, boy. Well, thank you, everyone.
Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in to our May month listeners episode. Hopefully this gave you something to freak out about and want to turn your lights on.
Yeah, I guess so. And I don't know what to request for our birthday month. I don't know. Maybe just your favorite
birthdays in general.
A birthday story. Yeah, that could be fun.
Birthday theme. It could be birthday adjacent too, if it's like cake themed or present themed.
Oh my God.
You know where my mind is.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I suggest some sort of party celebration gift present cake theme of spooky stories.
Sure. I like that very much. I approve. So if you have a story that has something to do with, I don't know, our birthdays, I guess, send it our way too. And that's why we drink at gmail.com. And Eva will read through those for us.
Yes. And definitely put in the subject line that it's like what the theme is. So it's just easier for Christine to find.
I was like, I'm not finding it, but yeah, make it easy on Eva. Awesome. Well, I mean, that's all I got.
Yeah. Stay healthy and happy and safe and clean, and good luck to you until we talk to you in a couple days, because we're going to record another episode pretty soon.
Woohoo! All right, we'll see you guys soon. And I tried to one up you there. You usually start it. Sorry.
No, you do it. I liked that. I liked it.
Okay, and
that's
why
we
drink.
Yay! Okay.
See the yay? It's hard not to do.
You're right.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.